The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Fan of the Charlie Kirk Show. Tyler Boyer joins us to talk about the RNC rules, some changes and drama at the RNC. We also have Chris from New Hampshire, who joins us to talk about whether or not Donald Trump will be allowed on the ballot in the live free or die state. And then a father's fight to try to prevent his son from getting transgender influences. Very powerful story. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. You can support our program becoming a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. One of the more disturbing trends happening in America is how the courts are either neutral, indifferent, or against reality when it comes to this gender stuff happening in our country. This is a very chilling story. Joining us now is Harrison Tinsley. Harrison, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
So your story is really striking. You have a 3.5-year-old son.
Correct.
Born as a biological male.
Correct.
Your former partner, ex-girlfriend, wants to raise him as non-binary. Is that correct?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
And it has started this massive court battle. Tell us about it.
Well, so it starts a few years back. I met a girl in the Bay Area. We started dating. We fell in love. We never agreed politically. I always thought, you know, that was something we could get past and just agree to disagree on some things. Unfortunately, the country's become so polarized, I'm not sure you can do that anymore. But shortly into us dating, she became pregnant. And we were both very happy about that, thankfully. And we basically, she suffered with some mental illness problems, like borderline personality disorder. It's pretty serious. And it was just super up and down relationship. And as her pregnancy went on, she was constantly threatening me that I wouldn't see my son if I wasn't exactly who she wanted me to be, particularly politically. Mm-hmm. And she would bring up things like, oh, what if our kid's transgender? Or why aren't you at the Women's March? Things like that. And it got to a point where she sent me a cease and desist letter. It's about halfway through her pregnancy. So I respected it. And I didn't find out my son was born. I found out about 1 week after he was born from social media. And it was 2 months after that I filed in court. It took 13 more. And this is right during COVID. And so I met my son finally when he was 15 months old, even though I was aware the whole time.
And then there was this idea of the gender confusion, right? So tell us about that.
So it goes on a little bit. I moved to the Bay Area. I went half custody. Then it's right around the time I went half custody. It's a little bit before he's 2 years old that she starts, or at least to my knowledge, seeing pictures and stuff, calling him a they, putting dresses on him, makeup on him. There was a time she took him to Disneyland. And my son told me a couple months later, he's like, Dada, when I went to Disneyland, I couldn't go on the rides unless I wore my princess shoes. I didn't want to wear my princess shoes. I wanted to wear boy shoes. That was super heartbreaking, just as one example of the things my son tells me. And so that happens. There's a lot of defamation of me on social media, et cetera. Yep. At the same time, I get granted a restraining order on a temporary basis that's violated. Bring all of this to trial, get granted a trial by the court because his mom was also arrested for child endangerment and placed on a 5150 hold while he was in her custody. She ended up getting let off the charges, but she was you know, charged originally. And so I get granted a 5-day trial, which is a super long time in family court. Usually you get a lot, you get like 30 minutes. And so we have the trial. I'm super confident about it. There's witnesses, 850 pages of evidence on my side, almost nothing on the other side. And I'm super confident about it. After the trial, about 2 months later, I get a decision from the court. They decide they're going to keep custody the same. They won't rule on gender. And my son had to continue to see the doctor that the mom preferred.
And the doctor was open to the trans thing, right?
Yeah, the doctor admitted on the witness stand that she transitions kids as young as 12 at her clinic, and that a place down the street does it to kids as young as 6.
So do you believe your ex-girlfriend, mother of your son, is encouraging your son to transition or become non-binary?
It appears that she is definitely pushing that idea on him. It's not working, though. He knows he's a boy. He always says he's a boy. He wants to be a boy. Loves being a little boy, super masculine, wants to be the Hulk right now, big and strong. And if you give him a girly toy or anything, he'll actually yell and scream at you, "I'm not a girl, I'm a boy."
And how does his mother react to all that, to the best of your knowledge?
So I don't interact with his mother very much.
Yeah.
There was one time she sent me a message on the court app admitting that. So she went from dating me to apparently being lesbian to being non-binary herself. I think around the same time she was trying to push it on my son. And she admitted to me on a court message app that her and my son got in a physical altercation over him saying, not about him saying he's a boy, which I'm sure he says to her because he tells me he does, but he told her that she's a girl. And she was getting mad about that and arguing with him and said that, like, "Oh, Sawyer bit me and this is all your fault. You're a bigot." It was a really crazy message.
So you're appealing the decision from the court. You wish the court would have had some sort of clarity that your son was actually your son?
Yeah, that, I mean, even above that, though, I mean, I was just pushing the safety issue even more, to be honest with you, with the arrest and everything and her mental health. I thought it was a very positive outlook just on that alone.
So what lesson do you think our audience should glean from this as you reflect on this very difficult moment in your life?
Well, the number one thing is you have to be brave. You have to fight for your kid no matter what. And the number two thing would be, it's a good idea to try to share values with someone you're going to be with, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See the world the same way.
Yeah. And that dads have rights too, not just moms.
Do you think the current legal system is pretty against dads' rights? It's harder for dads to get custody, harder for dad.
I think it's fair to say it's harder for dads to get custody, for sure. It's around like 80% of the time mom gets custody over dad.
And you've experienced that, I'm sure, obvious, you know, through the difficulty there. So then it's kind of more like your son is resisting these idea pathogens that you're the mother of your child is putting forward, and you're doing your best to try to encourage actual masculinity, right?
Absolutely.
And her parents are what? Are they on board for this?
I don't know what her parents do. You know, I don't speak with them anymore unless they're picking up Sawyer. But yeah, when me and Sawyer hang out, we do all the masculine things. He just loves being a little boy. And I think it's so sad that anyone would want to take that from him, you know, whether it's mm-hmm. fighting or wrestling or playing in the mud and football and scootering and biking. He's like the most boyish of all of his friends even. And so how would you not want the person you love most in the world, your kid, to be happy with who they are?
And apparently there's an agenda to change that. And the court ruled that your son can keep going to this doctor, Dr. Daniel Alkov, who works at a youth gender clinic. Is that right?
I believe she just works at a normal pediatrician or medical clinic in San Francisco for people on Medi-Cal.
Got it.
Not a gender-specific place. Although there is a sign at the door at that place saying that they have some gender stuff there.
It must have been, I mean, you obviously are fighting for your child. I mean, you almost want to give up at times, though. The whole system is kind of rigged against you, right?
I've never considered giving up. There was never a second in my mind. That's not who I am. But I do understand how hard and challenging it can be that some dads get forced into that because they end up seeing their kid once or twice a month, paying all this money, going through all this heartbreak. But to me, it'll never happen. You'd have to kill me to have me stop fighting for Sawyer.
That's beautiful and admirable. Closing thoughts. How can people help you, Harrison? I know you're appealing your decision, and the fight's going to continue.
It's going to continue. I have a Give, Send, Go, Give, Send, Go, Saving Sawyer. You can follow me on any social media. Just send me a message, a prayer. There's been so many people reaching out to me. It's been incredible. You all mean so much to me. I won't let you down. I won't let my son down. And I'm going to have courage and fight for Sawyer no matter what.
Yeah. And did the court acknowledge that your son is behaving like a boy, or did they not rule on that?
They just didn't say much about it and said they wouldn't rule on it.
Yeah, this has been a pattern that I've seen with judges in courts, is they have no interest to weigh in on biological reality at all. In fact, you know, the courts are ruling against men, ruling in favor of men and women sports, because they say we as the courts don't take stances on scientific matters. Scientific matters. It's unbelievable. Well, Harrison, keep fighting. God bless you, man.
God bless you.
I know that this is a very difficult situation, and I pray you will be successful. At least you get some custody, 50-50 of something, right?
Yeah, I have him half the time, and I think that's why he's so aware that he's a boy and everything is going good for him. I think he needs that time with me.
Yeah, at least you get some visibility with him. Well, Harrison, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Public Square is one of my favorite apps. There are progressive corporations out there that are just doing terrible things. And Public Square is out there leading the charge against all this garbage that we see from Target, for example, Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion, and financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer. With Public Square, we now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Public Square is free to join. You can get started today. If you're a business owner, join. If you're a consumer, join. Check it out. Download the Public Square app today. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a beautiful job. Good friend of mine, 100% behind him. Check it out today. If I had my preference, we wouldn't be talking about race as much as we do in this country. But as I have said, the Fulton County indictment in particular has racial elements to it. Don't take my word for it. Joy Reid and many other MSNBC guests are outwardly saying that the fact that Donald Trump is white is very important. That this is actually about white supremacy. We did a whole thing on Joy Reid, who did not grow up in the slums of New York City, who grew up in suburban Denver, whose parents were college professors. She acted as she grew up in Stuyvesant, dodging bullets and seeing kids deal drugs on the side of the street. Like, no, Joy Reid, you grew up in lily white suburbs of Denver. And thanks to affirmative action, you went to Harvard. Anyway, MSNBC guest Renita Shannon saying this is time and time again, we see powerful and connected white men who are continuously able to live above the law. Now, what's been very interesting about what's happened since the Trump indictment is some of the most vocal people in the grassroots against these indictments have been Black men, rank and file, everyday ordinary people in the Black community. But it is the Black intelligentsia that are very, very fired up to make sure Donald Trump rots in prison. Donald Trump does not see another day in a free society. Play cut six.
Well, this accountability is very important, and the mugshot is very important, because so often we are told that no one is above the law. But then time and time again, we see powerful, connected white men who, no matter their actions, are able to just continuously live above the law. So for Black folks in particular, this is what we are seeing is sort of a crack in the usual protection that white supremacy affords. And the mugshot is a part of that.
Renita Shannon, Joy Reid, Fannie Willis, this is anti-white porn is what this is to them. They are getting off on seeing Donald Trump's mugshot. Interestingly enough, that's not a widely held belief. It's basically now a consensus understanding. This was a mistake due to the mugshot, completely unnecessary. The most photographed man of the last 50 years, maybe in just history. You have more photographs of him than anybody else. You need a mugshot for what? They were trying to humiliate him. You is using a Maoist playbook, a struggle type session playbook, to say, we are going to humiliate you. It's obviously backfired. It's resulted in more fundraising, in t-shirts, in. As you can see behind us, the mugshot has almost become kind of the bat symbol, the rallying cry, an icon, a movement. It's rallying people to support Donald Trump. But for Anita Shannon and Joy Reid, they find delight in the suffering of Donald Trump. They love the fact, and this is very important, they're still angry. They are still upset. They're never going to be at peace. Because for them, they are very disturbed people as it is. They have to try to project their own brokenness on the rest of society. And deep down, they think the reason why they have to take so many Xanax pills, the reason why they're so depressed, is because Donald Trump won in 2016. Well, maybe it has something to do with you. Maybe you got to get your own life together. They're never going to stop unless we stop them. And we see this. New Hampshire has come out and they have said, the Secretary of State, we're going to entertain Donald Trump not being on the ballot. I bet California is going to do the exact same thing. This needs to be decided by the courts almost immediately. And as we have said, Republican Secretaries of State should send out a press release. You even think about do this in other states. We will not allow the traitor Joe Biden on our ballot in our state. We don't love it. We don't delight in it. We don't rejoice in this, but it's the way it has to be. Period. End of story. Now, whether or not that actually ends up happening, understand that the radical left, they fill their existential void with a hatred of our Constitution. You see the cockroaches, the rats, get so nervous the more people have a voice. And they're only going to continue to intensify their crusade against the American people. This is just the very beginning. You are living through the lawfare chapter, and Judge Chutkin says that the election has to happen the day before the presidential primary. Do you know what I am lacking in seeing? I have not seen a unified oppositional party war cry. Have you? I see a couple press releases, op-eds, TV interviews. We do not have an opposition party in this country. We have controlled opposition, and it's showing. It is not right versus left. It's top versus bottom. It's oligarch versus citizen. What side are you on? For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. We have Tyler Boyer with us, who's going to help co-host the ship. Joining us now is Chris Ager, chairman of the New Hampshire GOP. Chris, thank you for taking time. I know it's a crazy moment right now. Chris, I wanted to get your thoughts, your opinion from the grassroots. You're the top grassroots guy in the Northeast, about this whisper campaign that's now getting to a shout of the Republican Secretary of State in New Hampshire preventing Donald Trump on the ballot. What's going on here?
Yeah, so one of our former Senate candidates met with the Secretary of State and asked him what the steps would be to prevent Donald Trump from being on the ballot in our primary. They're using the 14th Amendment, the Insurrection Clause, Section 3. I find that logic tortured. The state party will fight any efforts to keep anyone off the ballot in New Hampshire. It's antithetical to our live for or die status and our motto. And I just think it's kind of ridiculous. Let's let the voters decide who they want to represent us as our nominee, not some Department of Justice tortured, logic, weaponized institution. I have faith in the people, and the people get to vote, and let's let the people vote and pick our candidate.
What's really confusing, Chris, the guy that's filing this, Quirky or Quickie or whatever his name is, or Corky or, you know, something really strange, the Quickie Cork or whatever, he's a former Trump endorser. Like, what's the story of this guy? I mean, is he like a scorned lover or something?
I don't think so. I know Quirky Messner. He's a fellow West Point graduate. So we have a lot in common. We totally disagree on this issue. I think he believes he's doing the right thing. But again, he's a lawyer, and lawyers sometimes look at things and they read words that really aren't there. I've read the 14th Amendment. I've looked at Tribe's article. There's nothing there. It's kind of ridiculous to tell people we're going to prevent you from having a choice. It's totally wrongheaded. And you talk about, you know, the insurrection thing. It's, you know, we also have a presumption of innocence in this country and Fifth and 14th Amendment. President Trump has been indicted, but, you know, there's an old New York circuit judge in the 1930s. He said, you can indict a ham sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And so weaponizing the Department of Justice, then trying to use what I consider fraudulent indictments to keep somebody off a ballot, that's third world banana republic type of
up. Yeah, it is.
We're not going to stand for it in New Hampshire. We're just not going to stand for it. I've talked to the Secretary of State, talked to the Attorney General. I am very confident that all of the 14 current candidates who apply will be on our ballot.
That's promising, Chris. I'm glad to hear that. And it's, you know, this has kind of been breaking over the weekend. And so you are confident, based on all conversations, that this fringe legal theory, this fringe lawsuit, is going to be DOA dead on arrival. And also, Chris, just from a vibe, you know, we're lectured about democracy all the time. Donald Trump is heavily favored to win New Hampshire, right? I mean, I know you're not taking any position on it, but right now you would agree that he has a fair amount of support in New Hampshire. Is that fair to say? So they would be inserting themselves into someone who is the leading candidate in the first of the primary states, first in the nation.
I agree that at this point in time, Donald Trump has the highest level of support in the Republican primary as of today. And we'll see what happens between now and January. But today he is the favorite. He does have a lot of support, and not allowing those people to have his name on the ballot, I think, is a terrible mistake. Our Secretary of State is a really good man. Our Attorney General is a very reasonable, seasoned individual. I have communicated with both of them. I think it's highly unlikely that anyone will be kept off of our ballot.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. And Chris, you know, I'm here with Tyler. We're going to throw to him in a second. But I just want to say, you've really earned a reputation of being a grassroots guy, of giving a voice to, you know, the people that do the work. And I know the grassroots would be furious with this. And I love New Hampshire. You guys have a liberty streak through, you know, kind of your culture, live free or die. And this would be the death of liberty and representative government. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. And thanks for breaking some news with us today, you know, saying that this is not going to happen, or very, very unlikely, as you say, in New Hampshire. Any closing thoughts, Chris?
The weaponization of the Department of Justice, the IRS, the FBI, all of that is reducing our confidence in government. Taking somebody's name off the ballot, I think, would be the coup de grace. And I think it would cause big trouble for this country if the institutions prevented the people from voting for who they want to vote for. So let's let the people decide. They're the ultimate jury, and let's get it on.
Chris, we have confidence and faith in you, and I know that you're going to keep on very stoically communicating with the office holders that this would be a very bad idea to prevent a former president from being on the ballot. Chris, great work. Thanks so much. Tyler Boyer is with us, tpaction.com. By the way, Turning Point Action, we are hiring staff. We have like 50 people now at Turning Point Action staff.
Yeah, we have training going on this week.
Wow.
We're putting more on the swing states.
So I turn over a rock. There's like another two dozen people at Turning Point Action. By the way, we can get into the, let's just talk about it. In the grassroots, showing up, helping, registering voters, doing the tough work. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I mean, we just got back from the RNC meeting, so I serve on the RNC.
Tyler does missionary work. I was not at the RNC meeting.
I was there with Chris, and Chris is one of the good guys and on the RNC. And so, look, I can tell you this is The big concern that we have, and this is also news. So our chairwoman didn't take any questions the entire time we were at the RNC meeting for the first time ever. So I tweeted out about this. So she didn't take questions. And part of the reason why she didn't take questions is because we really don't have the staff and the field presence that the Republican Party needs to be successful. And so this is what we've been saying all along, right, Charlie? It was like, there hasn't been enough. There wasn't enough during the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Mm-hmm. There wasn't enough in 2020 and 2022 throughout those elections. We have to build an army that's going to be sustainable and that's going to lead us to victory 100%. Year in and year out.
And I know this sounds weird for people to hear. I'm actually, part of my spirit and my hope is to cheer the RNC to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
So you need a strong party. And I see no evidence of that. So you're trying to tell me that you have 168, 168 was there, or maybe 160. I'm sure some people had, you know, got sick or family, whatever. But zero questions? How is that even possible?
So yeah, normally there's what they call a members-only meeting. And that information is usually confidential, but it allows the membership to talk about, complain, all those different things about what's going on, bring up concerns, issues, right? That was neglected. So
why do you think that
is? Well, again, it's because of this, right? Which is that the RNC is really almost rudderless, in my opinion, in so many different ways. I mean, the only way that you could go into that meeting and walk away, if you are of sound mind and competency, is to go, wait, there's a massive issue here, right? Which is that, you know, obviously the debate didn't turn out as it was hoped. There's a number of issues that people have and concerns about rules. And we could talk about that. Yeah. We have enough content to talk about for months.
Yes.
But most importantly is talking about winning elections. That's the job of the party. The party's there to win elections. And there is no plan that's been laid out of how we're going to win the presidency. Zero plan. And so, and that starts with Arizona. Secondly, with Wisconsin. Third, with Georgia. And I can tell you, being close with the number of the individuals who are in the state of Wisconsin, state of Georgia, all of us are deeply, profoundly concerned. And so this is where Turning Point Action comes in, which is,
we're just going to do the work.
This is part of the issue, right? Which is like, there has to be a network of 20, 30, 40 organizations that are going to pick up and do the work that the RNC is not going to do. And again, the Democrats figured this out many years ago.
Okay. So, you know, I'm a talk show guy. Sometimes I push, you know, push and push. When I say there's no plan, I mean 100%. But can you just...
There really is no plan. There is no plan. I have not been... I beg for a plan. I would love for the RNC where... I would love to be able to tell the public that we show up at RNC meetings and we have vigorous debate about the direction of the country, the direction of the party, the things that we need to do.
Technical
stuff that you need to do to make the party better. But they are in such a fundamentally broken place of not being able to communicate. And again, I wish there are many good people. I want to just say this, many good people who have been involved over the years. There are many good people on the RNC that are good conservatives. It's not a majority, it's a minority, but there are good people that are there. But there are many of us in that group that are going, this is a massive issue. And the only way to course correct oftentimes is you got to change leadership. You got to have leadership just wake up one day and decide to fight.
Are there impeachment clauses? Or?
Look, I mean, the RNC could technically hold a vote at any point, but you're not changing the body until next year when all these people parties. Get elections.
So,
elected.
So this is hard for some people to believe that there's no plan. So there's 168 members.
I wish I could come back and tell you that.
No, there is no plan. But when people say that, sometimes I get emails. Oh, Charlie, come on. How could you possibly say there's no plan? So, but just let me drill down on this. The 168. Do you think there's a fair amount of people in the 168 that are kind of indifferent about winning? That it's not their top thing.
You have to assume that's the case based off of the lack of accountability for direction, right? So. I ask questions. I show up. I ask questions. Right? I'm not warmly
received
when I ask questions that are basic, you know, business related questions about how the party functions. You know, and again, I'm one guy's perspective out of 168 people, but you know, I also hail from the state that you have to win, and
the swing state of swing states,
and we've also operated a business that does all these things.
Yes.
So, you know, I happen to have some
understanding
of how this works. So
I'm curious, how many of you are still donating to the RNC? I'm curious. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. And you might be without knowing it, by the way, because you might actually have an auto recurring donation on your credit card statement. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. Okay, I'm going to play cut 16, then Tyler, the floor is yours. 16, Asa Hutchinson says, RNC rules will prevent Donald Trump from being the nominee. Then I'll let you go. Play cut 16.
And over a year ago, I said that Donald Trump was morally disqualified from being president again as a result of what happened on January 6th. More people are understanding the importance of that, including conservative legal scholars who says he may be disqualified under the 14th Amendment from being president again as a result of the insurrection. This is something that could disqualify him under our rules and under the Constitution. And so, obviously, I'm not going to support somebody who's been convicted of a serious felony or who has is disqualified under our Constitution, and that's consistent with RNC rules.
Tyler Boyer.
Very popular take in Arkansas. So so I will tell you this. So this happened at the RNC. There's two big issues. The rules are what are the bylaws of the RNC. So anytime that you hear that people use the term RNC rules, those are the bylaws. So that's what governs the RNC. Those can only be changed in a certain amount of time. And so the way that's been laid out for how we nominate a president has been laid out, and it's been the same for basically for a long, long time with minor changes here and there. And so no one can change those rules at this point moving forward. Now, there are rules that are get it established at the convention. That's a totally different deal. So right now, Rana, so part of the reason why a lot of people are like, you know, explain to me why you think Rana isn't the one, right? Rana McDaniel, Romney McDaniel. Well, you can always tell how good a chair is by who she selects as her chairs for these committees, right? So the current chair for the RNC committee, you actually interacted with in Washington not too long ago.
Yeah.
He was in the audience, absolutely dislikes us because he's a total rhino. His name's Jeff Kent. He's the chair of the rules committee right now. He is an absolute, hates Trump, hates conservatives, you know, loathes conservatives from the state of Washington, and he's the chair of the Rules Committee. So there is some substantial concern that who becomes the chair of the Rules Committee for the convention rules, is also going to be bad. Because if it was a guy like Jeff Kent, he's like Asa, right? He's Asa on the committee, right? So everybody should be banging pots and pans saying, hey, we need a really good rule share. So, you know, insert Harmeet Dillon. So after Harmeet lost, one of the things that we've been trying to do is make sure Harmeet is positioned to become rules chair for the convention. She should be, because she's actually conservative. She's not going to backstab conservative. She's one of the few. Mm-hmm. She challenged Rana for obvious reasons. And so we need to have an absolute stellar rules chair, but it can't just come out of left field. It can't come out of nowhere. And if you get someone random, they could totally lead and guide the rules for the RNC convention to screw Trump or, you know, mess with things that would really, you know, create a lot of drama. And some people remember this happened way back in 2016. People certainly remember it from the Ron Paul stuff, right? Where they were trying to hurt Ron Paul way back in the day in 2012. Yep. This is why this is so important. So the thing that I'm advocating for is Harmeet should be the rules chair, because we know she's not going to screw us. She's not going to mess with Trump. She's not going to mess with these things. She's going to keep everything even keeled in the way that it should be. So that everything's fair going into the convention.
So what was the drama this last meeting?
So Rana had agreed after
about a minute and a half.
Yeah. Rana had agreed after coming out of the election to bridge the gap. She was going to make Harmeet the rules chair. And that was kind of like the, okay, well, if you're actually willing to work with conservatives, you know, make Harmeet the rules chair. And she's just dragged her feet. And she was like, oh, well, we'll make you co-chair with this Jeff Kent character out of Washington, who's on the RNC with me, and that who's the rhino. And all of a sudden, we show up to the meeting where this was supposed to happen this last week, and they get up to the microphone, and all of a sudden, the rhinos on the committee are like, well, you can't do that. You can't make her co-chair. So Harmeet ended up becoming like a more of a, you know, and icon vice chair than the actual co-chair of the committee, which is a huge red flag heading into the convention next year.
Yeah, that, I mean, I guess the question is who controls the delegates controls the rules also, right? So it's going to be this huge tension point.
Yeah, but again, people like the delegate body oftentimes gets manipulated by the people at the top, yeah. Right? So if you show up not knowing really what's going on, which most delegates don't know what's going on, they just kind of just wander through this stuff. Like most of the members of the RNC, unfortunately, a lot of the members of the RNC, that's a problem.
TPAction.com, hiring people in. Really quick, how many full-time staff does RNC have in Arizona?
Oh, zero right now.
Turning Point Action has 8, soon to be 15, eventually 50, and maybe 100. We're playing to win. TPAction.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Think identity theft won't happen to you? Think again. There's a new victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., over 15 million this year alone, and many don't even know they're victims. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you could miss, even when you monitor your credit. If your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft, but everyone can save up to 25% their first year at LifeLock.com/Salem. Identity theft protection starts here.